Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio. I am VJ Smith, the president and founder of the Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads, and just wanted to talk a little bit today about the history of Mad Dads, and you know, how important it is that we are in the community and the work that we do. So let's just kind of talk about that now. Mad Dad stands for Men Against Destruction, Defending Against Drugs and Social Disorder. We're half an hour late today, and we had to get organized, and I want to thank Alex Carlson for hosting the show for many, many weeks. I want to thank him. He is sick, and so keep him in your prayers as we continue to move forward with Blog Talk Radio and Mad Dads. So let's talk about the different programs and the history of Mad Dads. The Minneapolis chapter started in October 3rd of 1998, and then we partnered with an organization, a great organization, Urban Ventures, with the CEO and founder, Art Erickson. And what we did was decided that collaboration was really key and really important. And so one of the programs that we have is the fathering program, which is facilitated by three gentlemen, Jack Strotter, which does the parenting end, and John Turnipseed and myself, VJ Smith, that do the support group. So we have two groups that go exactly at the same time. We have anywhere from a number from 60 to 80 community members that show up every week to get help, support, and direction in their lives to guide them in terms of being a more positive individual in our community. And I think, man, that is a good showing for a support group. And we're excited about that because we believe that that is what makes this community a better place. And it also reduces crime when we have men and women in our community, because we're not just closed out to men. We knew that we had to open this up to women also so that they could get empowered and be involved. You know, our call-in number is, if you want to call in, we'd love to have you call in. And our call-in number is, well, you should see it on there. It's 347-215-9262 if you'd like to call in. So with our men's empowerment program, we also have the incarcerated males program, and we found out that a lot of our men are not connected at all to any direction in their lives. They go to jail, and they get out. And most of the time when they go to jail, they make new relationships with more seasoned criminals, or they meet new criminals in their neighborhood or in their community, and they come out worse rather than better. And we found out that if we would go in and just talk to them about maybe going back home to their kids, going back home to their families, that that would have a huge impact for them. And so far we've been seeing over 400 or 500 inmates every 3 months to help them, you know, get new direction. We just received the award of merit from the Hennepin County Sheriff's. And I want to thank Sheriff Rick Stanek for giving us that award for our work in the jails and working with the inmates. And it's really been a blessing for us to do that kind of work. Looks like we got a caller, so we're going to go right to our caller. And caller, how you doing? Let me click him on here.
I'm on there today, a brand new man.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, brother. How you doing?
I am doing excellent. God has showed me, came into my life and showed out.
Well, you know, we were talking about the history of Mad Dads. We're talking about the fathering and the parenting program and how we help men turn their lives around. You are a success story. Congratulations on, you've been married how many days now?
I've been married since Saturday, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 4 days.
4 days. And tell me, sir, how does it feel, Mr. Baggett, how does it feel to be a married man?
It feels great. It feels great because, you know, I have to live here and give it to the woman that I married, you know. And I have to, you know, hands down to her because of her persistence that it's got to be done in an orderly and a godly way. And at first, you know how men are, you know what I'm saying, I wanted my cake and my cookies right then, you know, but she was persistent and she was, you know, firm in her commitment to lay up here and, you know, and honor our marriage. And it was the most gratifying experience I've ever experienced because this is my first time being married, the first time I've been in a committed relationship. And then to have so many people that want to see you succeed and want to see you happy, and they worked in unison and organized, you know, movements, man. You know what I'm saying? When black people come together and just, you know, in short notice and really put something together, I mean, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
It really was, and I think that You're a lucky man, and she's a lucky woman to have met you. Let's talk a little bit about. Can you get somewhere where it's a little quieter though?
Yeah, over in Urban Bench.
Okay. Yeah, can you get somewhere where it's a little quieter? And can we talk a little bit about how Mad Dads helped you get to where you got?
All right, Mad Dads helped me to get where I got. In the way that they laid up in, they took a wounded person. You know, I came to Mad Dads, you know what I'm saying, with specific ideas and aspirations on what I thought that I needed. But with the Mad Dads really just showed me that what I thought I needed was just things that I wanted. So once we got past that part, we identified my wants separated from my needs, you know, they showed me how to cultivate my mind, you know. So once I laid a PM and started putting new things and new concepts off into my mind through the tutorage of the Mad Dads, because, like, you know, we have these groups every Monday where we can live in, we can express ourselves. So when I first got to the Mad Dads, you know what I'm saying, I had just come up out of penitentiary, having done 22 years, and I was repressed, you know what I'm saying. I held a whole lot of things inside of me. You know, because in prison you live a lie. So I had lived that lie so long that when the Mad Dads gave me the permission to be myself, gave me the strength and the courage and the support that I needed to live here and get this stuff up out of me. You know, I hadn't cried in years, and I broke down and I just let that stuff come up out of me. It was so cleansing. You know, I felt like a new person. You know, I felt like, you know, that Mad Dads was a family that I never, never had. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. I had a family, but I never had any type of emotional attachments to my family. You know what I'm saying? I came from a totally dysfunctional family. So when I came to Mad Dads, they taught me and stuff, saying that it's all right for a man to lay up here and have some emotions. It's all right for a man to show his vulnerabilities and stuff, I'm saying, without being ridiculed or made fun out of. You know, and when they told me they wanted me to lay up here and draw up a goal slip, something that I had some small attainable goals, and I wrote my goal slip up, you know, and as I progressed with the Mad Dads and stuff, you see, I started realizing those attainable goals, and once I lay up here, I started seeing that I can make goals and set goals for myself and then actually achieve those goals and stuff. It just empowered me in ways that I never experienced before in my life. And, you know, I love the Mad Dads. You know, a lot of people be saying that, you know, the Mad Dads this and the Mad Dads that. But, you know, you got to go through it. You know what I'm saying? You just can't come in and just think that everything's just going to miraculously just change in your life. You know, it was a process. And so after the year and a half that I've been with the Mad Dads, it was a steady, progressive process, chipping off, you know what I'm saying? Let me understand that I have to lay up here and get rid of this, get rid of that level. Stop thinking like that. Stop responding like that, you know what I'm saying? Stop hearing stuff that's not in stuff. And I'm so grateful for the Mad Dads. I can sit up here and praise the Mad Dads all day, you know.
Well, we're proud of you. And what I want to talk about is not only are you married now and you've built a relationship, but you also, through our programming, you're able to get some premarital counseling. And can you talk about a little bit about how that helped you?
Well, the premarital counseling, you know, now that was a challenge because, like, when I first laid up here and I started seeking, you know, some help. You know, people telling me, well, don't go to VJ because VJ is a little bit too personally attached to the situation. That VJ, you know what I'm saying, is going to be one side and he's going to be this, you know. So I was kind of like hesitant to go, you know, to go there. And then I had my own, you know, levels of fear because I didn't want to just sit there and just, you know, just expose myself and my weaknesses and my vulnerabilities just to somebody who I really felt at that time I didn't even really know, you know what I'm saying? But when I got off into them and we started going through the marriage counseling, I started really seeing how dysfunctional I really was. I started really seeing my father in myself, you know, and that was a scary thing. And so as we went through the counseling, you know, VJ's tutorage, you know, it was amazing that, you know, he would plant different seeds, but I would have to lay up, you know what I'm saying, and through my own individual desire, cultivate those seeds and let them, you know, absorb inside of my mind so I can lay up here and experience them on my own level. You know, he never forced nothing upon me. But what he did show me was that it was all right for a woman to have strength. You know, that it was all right for my wife to lay up here, you know, and check me. You know, because I came from a straight-up chauvinistic, you know, abusive type of home setting, you know, where women were just to be seen and not heard. Kids were supposed to, you know, do what you told, not as you see me do. That type of stuff, you know. And once I started seeing through the marriage counselor that he was allowing me to see just how wrong I was in thinking the way that I was thinking.
Well, see, and that's the key behind the counseling. You were smart enough to receive that information and adapt your future toward that. And because of that, you're going to be rewarded very, very well behind that. And so I'm proud of you for that. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what you're doing in the schools now. We're so proud of you. Talk a little bit about what you're doing with the kids in the schools.
Well, that comes so natural. You know, like, you know, ever since I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, you know, he started, you know, letting me understand that, you know, that he allows you to go through things in your life. You know, he allows you to lay up here and experience different levels of rejection, different levels of pain, different levels of confusion, different levels of denial. So you can lay up here and come to the point that once you honestly reach out for understanding, for clarity into your life, that Jesus moves straight on in, you know, and he takes all those experiences that you have and stuff, and he lets you understand that you went through that for a purpose, and that purpose that you went through is for you to teach somebody else. So once I got off into the school systems and stuff, and I started seeing all these kids, these dysfunctional kids, these kids with these problems, these kids coming in here, you know what I'm saying, with a verbal abuse problem, you know what I'm saying, a physical abuse problems, you know what I'm saying, sexual abuse problems and stuff, gang-related problems and stuff, you know what I'm saying, kids that, you know, that there was lying out of a sense of self-survival, you know what I'm saying, and self-identity. And I started looking, I'm saying, this is the same, this little boy I'm talking to here, this is me. So I can open up myself and unveil myself to this child, and he'll look me right in my eyes. He'll say, hey, man, you know, you've been through the same thing I done been through, you know. So now I'm no longer a stranger. I'm not an authoritative type threat to him anymore, you know. He looks at me as an equal and stuff because, like, the things that are coming from my mouth and stuff, I'm saying, is giving him clarity as to why he's going through the things that he's going through. And it's been such a beautiful experience, man. I mean, so that when we left him, we go off into that school and we talk to those kids, man, and you can see those kids, they just hug you around your waist and stuff, you know, and they just start, they give you those sincere tears and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Tears that they're not ashamed, you know what I'm saying, to lay up here and allow and let you see them crying and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, they can feel some sincerity in you. And once, you know, again, through the tutelage of V.J. Smith, you know, he showed me how to lay up here and rechannel all that hurt and all that pain and all that experiences that I've had. You know, he's taught me how to lay up here and how to, you know, rechannel those things into verbal communication with those kids. And it's something, you know, you just got the experience to understand, you know, the gratitude that you have for your life.
Well, you know, you've been doing a great job. Kids' lives have been changed, and we've been able to see through our school prevention and intervention programs in the classrooms in the elementary and the high schools, a difference. And, you know, those things, those differences go right off into the street. Now, I wanted to talk while we're talking about the history of Mad Dads and the programming. You're involved with quite a few elements of Mad Dads. Talk a little bit about the Peace Bus and what happens there.
All right, now the Peace Bus, now that there, now the Peace Bus, believe it or not, with all this insanity, because, you know, you're communicating and you're having social, you know, intercourse with thousands of people every day. You know, you meet so many different individual attitudes and so many different individual viewpoints and so many different individual egos and, you know, and spirits, you know. And so, like, when you get on that bus, you know, we get on that bus with a meek heart, you know what I'm saying, and a humble physique, you know. We're non-threatening, you know, because, like, a lot of people and stuff, when they get on that bus and stuff, you know, they're looking, you know, for this, you know, this is my space right now. You know, this is my little opportunity and stuff, you know what I'm saying, that I'm getting ready to go home and I'm getting ready to lay up here and get rid of all the frustration I had through my day and my work or whatever, you know. But then
right.
You got those elements that get on that bus and stuff and saying they just want to make their problems everybody's problem. That's where the Mad Dads come in. But the beauty of that, again, is that we've been taught and we've been shown, you know, that how we can lay up here and take another person's suffrage, you know, and turn it to a form and then turn it to a form of energy, you know, where we can lay up here and take that energy, that negative energy, and turn it into something positive.
How do you do that, Gil? I mean, you got some guy, irate, alcoholic, crack addict, or whatever, getting on the bus, got spent their last money, they're upset, mad at the world, looking to take something from somebody. They get on the bus and see you, what happens?
Well, when they first, the first time they see, and they look at us and stuff, and say, you know, remember, spirit talks to spirit, you know? And, so when they come up to us and they see us on that bus and stuff, instant recognition as to who we are registered onto them, you know. And they look and stuff and saying, their confusion is that they can feel the pulse of our spirit, you know. And they connect with that. Their confusion comes in is that once they connect with us, you know, they looking for the similar type of behavior that they explain, because they say, hey, man, you done been through this here. You know how it is. And then we start telling them, yeah, man, I've been through that. I know how it is, man. But I also understand, man, the consequences that come from thinking like you're thinking right now, you know. So when you have him, you call him, you ask him to start thinking, you empower that person, you know. You know how you done taught us, VJ? That person, now he don't feel like, you know what I'm saying, that you're trying to talk down on him, you know. He understands
Absolutely.
That he's having problems. He understands and stuff, and saying that the thing's not perfect the way he wants his life to be and stuff like that there and stuff, and saying, but he also understands that right now he's hurting, you know. And we know that through your teaching and stuff, that hurt people, you know. So
That's
when
right.
he sees, you know what I'm saying, that I'm humble enough to absorb his pain, you know, and then feed it back to him in a positive way of having given him more options. You know, hey, man, it's all right for you to lay up here and feel like that the other day and stuff, saying, but is it all right for you to lay up here, man, saying and act like this in front of this little boy right here or in front of this woman right here? This woman here can be your mother. So, you know, we know how to lay up here and turn that stuff around.
You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about what we're doing with males that are coming out of prison and the work that Stan's doing. I was wondering if Stan was available to talk a little bit about his programs and what he's providing to the community. Can you get Stan on the line?
Yes, I'm getting ready to talk. I'm walking up to Stan. I'm walking talking to Stan right now.
And while you're walking to Stan, talk about a little bit about.
Hello.
Hey, is this
hello?
Stan?
This is Stan.
Hey, Stan,
here.
How you
Urban
doing?
Steady set work.
Hey, great, great, man. You're on Blog Talk Radio and Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio. We just wanted to talk a little bit about when we're talking about the history of Mad Dad. We want to talk about partnerships, and we built a partnership up with you, Stan, and the work that you're doing is Ready, Set, Work. Can you talk
Ready,
a little bit about
work.
That program?
That's right.
And tell me a little bit about it and how it works.
Okay, so the way this works with our partnership is Mad Dad does an excellent job of doing community outreach and going to the areas that are the people who are most need of employment and employment readiness and letting them know that we are available and ready to help them produce resumes, cover letters, put together a package, helping them to understand how interview techniques work, how to effectively use time management so that they can maximize the use of the time to find jobs, and not just a job, but something that has a livable wage so that they can support their families. Now, we're geared mostly towards helping men and people in the South Minneapolis area, but we don't turn anyone away as long as they're willing to participate in our program and come with a willingness to learn and a desire to change their life for the positive, then this is the place to be. Ready means are you ready for work? And set means once you're ready, you must set the course to find work. And then once you find work, you must work to contain, to sustain that work and to retain employment. And so at Ready, Set, Work, is a place where you can be the miracle you ask for. And our slogan is, be the miracle.
Hey, Stan, a question for you now. You've been working in this field for many years. What's different? What are you doing different now than what you did before?
The thing that's most different is before it was always just me and didn't have the other supportive elements. So, for example, someone who will let the people who really know, who need to know where I am, let them know where I'm located. That's been a big plus. Also, the partnership and being an employee at Urban Ventures produces the piece where it talks about character development and speaking to people from the place in which they're meeting them where they are. We don't do any creaming. We don't expect people to be perfect. We meet people right where they are, and we help to lift them to the place that they want to be. So the biggest difference is a firm understanding of working with people who are on our staff who understand the situations and life circumstances that our clients are going through, being non-judgmental and being uplifting and firmly planted in the belief in God and all of His glory.
And how will they get in contact with you, Mr. Hill?
So the best way to get in contact with me is to call area code 612-455-4640, or they can simply stop in at 3041 4th Avenue, South Minneapolis at Urban Ventures on Mondays between 1 and 5 p.m., Tuesday and Wednesdays between 10 and 5 p.m., and on Thursdays between 12 noon and 5 p.m.
Now, those are some hours, and they're varied. So people, depending on what they're doing, there's different hours for different days.
That's
and it works
right.
out
so
for them. But also,
the day.
And they can get involved with you in the afternoon, too. So some of the expectations I've seen of our potential clients is that they want everything right away. They don't have patience. What do you say to individuals who say, look, I got to get a job now? Stan, let's get it right now. When I come in today, I want a job when I walk out. What do you say to individuals?
Well, I would tell them that anything worth having requires some work. Anything that you want out of life, you must be that miracle. You must be the catalyst. We don't always have the words. We don't always have the skills. But here at Urban Ventures Ready, Set, Work, we will help you put all those pieces together. The one thing that I tell everyone is this, that my faith has been strengthened and has provided proof once again that good things happen to good people when they ask for help, accept help, work hard, and are willing to change. If you'll do those things, the rest will follow, and they will fall like dominoes.
You've been known, Stan, for getting people kind of situated in a sociological kind of way. In terms, and what I mean by that, a man comes to you and he's depressed. He just got out of prison. Everywhere he's went, it's been no, 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 no. I've seen you take people and turn them around. How do you do that, Stan?
Well, you know, what I do, VJ, is I draw my personal experiences. I, too, have a background. I've been to prison. I was addicted to drugs for over 30 years. I've been homeless and everything above. I used to be a predator in the city of Minneapolis, and I'm proud to say that through a lot of soul-searching, the desire and willingness to change on my part, and the help from other individuals who helped me to see a brighter day, and a way of life came down to my brain, and I will never be the same. And those are the things that I talk to people about. If I can do it, here's what it looks like. I'll help you along the way, and I'm not only will help you, but there are other people in this organization who also share that common background, and we are living testaments that this is how it can be done.
So can you talk a little bit about your success story, Ready, Set, Work? How many people have you gotten jobs so far, and how does it look right now?
Well, right now things, as you know, as this economic climate is very depressed and suppressed, and there are a lot of qualified people without criminal backgrounds who have worked all their life and don't have any gaps in their work history who are also out of work, so it's very difficult to find jobs. But I'm happy to report that since January, 68 people have found employment through Ready, Set, Work. And they're talking about people with significant barriers to employment, with felonies and multiple convictions, as well as 52 people and families have secured permanent housing, which means that now there are people employed full-time. They have housing, and they have the children have a safe environment to be in. They can live under the same roof as a family. That's huge. As well as 34 persons have returned to school full-time to get the education necessary to pursue the careers that they're looking for. So we have operating at about a 78% success rate with the hardest of the hardest to find employment and housing, and the national average is 34%.
Well, that's amazing. And, you know, we need to get the word out about what you're doing and how it's happening. And matter of fact, this is part of getting the word out. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to Blog Talk Radio right here, Mad Dad Blog Talk Radio. We've been talking to Stan Hill, Ready, Set, Work. Stan, give him that number one more time, please, sir.
That number is 612-455-4640. Ready,
and Stan,
set,
I want to
work.
That's right, Ready, Set, Work. You know, Stan, I want to thank you very much for coming online with us. And from time to time, we would like to call in and check in with Ready, Set, Work and see how things are going, okay?
Please do, and we look forward to it. And all you listeners, it's a great program, and Mad Dads is in a partnership with Urban Ventures doing incredible things here in the city of Minneapolis. Thank you, VJ, for calling. Keep up the excellent work.
Well, thank you very much. That's Stan Hill, Ready, Set, Work. He gave you a number. You know the number. All you have to do is give Stan a call. He's ready to help and ready to do what it takes to change your life. If you're coming out of prison, you're coming out of incarceration, make sure you tap into Stan, man. Stan has a wealth of knowledge, and not only does he have the experience, but you know what? He's got the backing of other organizations to support him and do the kind of work that we have to do. Gil, are you still on the line? Is Gil still on the line?
Pardon me?
How you doing? Is this Stan? You still on the line?
Yep, I'm still on the line.
Okay. You want to put Gil back on for me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. And while we're waiting on Gil to get back on the line, we want to let you know we do an event called Outreach Explosion, and that's where we hit the streets, man, and, and we go out. Hey, Gil, how you doing?
I'm doing good, sir.
This is Gil Baggett, and Gil Baggett is our newlywed. He is he's got a lot of noise in the background, and that's what he's good at doing that every time we're on Blog Talk Radio. But yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the crisis response that we do, and what it's felt like for you to be in the middle of a crisis in the community and actually be able to help folks get through that.
That's one of the most self-gratifying experiences that I've ever really had the privilege of being a part of, is that when you can actually be right there when a person honestly and sincerely needs you. You know, he needs your experience, he needs your resources, he needs your strength, he needs your ability to lay up here and, you know, put hands on a situation and stuff and saying that right now he might not be emotionally or physically or spiritually able to handle at that moment. You know, that once you live here and you find yourself in a situation like that, you know, you get to understanding the greatness and the mercy that God has laid up and extended on your life, you know. And that's what I feel is, you know, so empowering through the Mad Dash, because, you know, we work in the community with guns, we work in the community with guys that, you know, that are violent, that are predators, that are thieves, that are liars, that you know, that are murderers, you know. And we do these things without any form of self protection, like no guns, no mace, no bats, no none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? We do this just without the humbleness of our hearts, you know. And we know that these things that we do and stuff and saying are not by ourselves, by you know, our own self control. These things are done because we're doing God's work. We're working with God's people, you know. So, you know, so like greater is us than He was in the world. So we don't have no fear about this stuff. But when you walk up into a situation and they face lights up when they see that green shirt, you know what I'm saying? You're looking at the blood and the sweat of everybody else that preceded me, you know what I'm saying, and that preceded you as a Mad Dad, you know. You just, people look at you and stuff saying they don't really see you as a person until they get to know you. But if their first response is to that green shirt, is to the moral and ethical and integrity of that green shirt, you know what I'm saying, they know that green shirt means that this person here is coming to help me unconditionally, you know. And that's the satisfaction that I can't really speak on because to how great it is.
Well, you know, we've been called. We have another program in our community building component, which is called Hospital Response. And you've privileged to do some of that with us and talk a little bit about what it's like to go into the hospital and respond to some of those critical situations.
Now, you know, like, that's both sad and it's gratifying, because sometimes we go there and stuff and saying, and then we know we find ourselves faced with, you know, the ultimate, and that's death, you know. But then we do run around and we see one of these guys and we see one of these kids. That's an unfortunate thing, because like the last three times we had that football player that was a 16-year-old kid. Then we had that them two kids they laid up here and got shot from the boys' home and stuff like that. These 15 and 16-year-old kids respectively, you know. And we go up in there and stuff and say, we see the God that spared their lives, you know what I'm saying? He allowed them to go through something, you know, go through a shot wound, and the other one, he was stabbed multiple times. But God allowed him to lay up here and come through that. So when we go up into the hospital and they see us, it's two things that you see in their faces. You know what I'm saying? You see, first you see that gratitude that you came, that somebody came there, you know what I'm saying, with, you know, with care and concern in their heart for them, you know what I'm saying, to bring them some comfort. Then you start seeing that remorse, because now they understand that, hey, everything that the Mad Dad told us about, it has later been come to fruition. You know what I'm saying? I'm laying here with these tools going through my body. I'm laying here with these bullet holes in my body. I'm laying here with these machines and stuff like this here.
And
that's absolutely right.
So you know, so once those kids left and they go through that multitude of emotional, you know, recognition, you know, then they come to a point where now they want to listen. You know what I'm saying? Because they say, okay, now I see this is real. You know, so once they let in, they give us that response, that opens up the door for us to put that seed in them that we've been trying to put in from all our groups and all our hollering on the corner and waving at the cars and greeting them on the buses and talking them to in the school and stuff like that. Once that little light comes in their eyes and stuff, they are fertile material for us to lay up here, you know what I'm saying, and show them how we can lay up here and work with them and save their lives.
Well, you know, this has been great, Gil. The other thing I wanted to talk about is we had this riding in the Greenway to reduce crime against some of the people that were getting perpetrated on, particularly white bike riders that were being perpetrated on. I'd like to talk for you to talk a little bit about what that felt like to protect the Greenway during the bike riding, Greenway bike riding course.
You know, like, me again, I had left and I had to go back onto the wood, how great God has been for me, you know, because like when I had that heart of stone, you know, I never understood how, you know, that you can take a stone or a pop can or a bottle or a brick and just throw it at somebody indiscriminately without having any concern who that person was, what type of life that person has and stuff, who he has responsibility to, what his wife, his children, or his mother or his father is laying up here, you know what I'm saying, what kind of relationship they have in the world, you know what I'm saying, that you can take a ball or you can take a hubcap and so callously throw it over one of those bridges to hurt somebody, and it's a joke to me. You know what I'm saying? So, but now that Lord has laid up here and he removed that stony heart from me and stuff, you know what I'm saying, I empathize so much with those people that are out there, you know what I'm saying, that's going about everyday life and stuff, you know what I'm saying, that are good people, that are basically sound, morally correct people, you know what I'm saying? And that someone be so callous, the heart be so cold, that they can lay up here and they can enact something like that. Then I got to look back. I got to think about what the Lord has told me, that, hey, you can't lay up here, you know what I'm saying, and think so much, so greatly of yourself, because at one time you was a skillet. You was the one that was throwing that can. You was the one that was throwing that rock. You was the one who was laying in those derogatory, ethical, disrespectful comments about people and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So when we go out there and we see these kids and stuff, we can give it away to them just like that. You know what I'm saying? We're telling them and stuff and saying, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I understand that you're going through some stuff right now. You know what I'm saying? But ask yourself this question. Who are you to lay up there, you know what I'm saying, and put what you're going through on somebody else? And these kids are starting to listen to us, you know. And that Greenway program that we went through with them bike people and stuff, those are some of the most humanitarian, concerned, compassionate, and powerful people that I've ever met, because they're so strong in their desire to help somebody, you know what I'm saying, to improve the quality of somebody else's life. That when you get around those people and stuff, you know what I'm saying, them the people to lay up here and really give you the strength to do what you need to do, because you feel that need to protect those people.
And you listen to Blog Talk Radio with your host today, VJ Smith, standing in, co-host Gil Baggett, sitting in for Alex Carlson, which is in the hospital, getting well today. Our call-in number is area code 347-216-9262. If you'd like to call in, we sure like to hear from you. But until then, we'll continue to talk. Gil, I want you to talk a little bit about the key ministry that we do at Shiloh Temple International Ministries for the Homeless.
Okay. Yeah, ABG. See, now you're talking about things that you know that I keys is one of my pet peeves. Keys is a situation of guys that I really truly love, you know, because, you know, having been coming through the Salvation Army, 1010 Curry, you know, and having undergone, you know what I'm saying, the penitentiary experiences, you know, having them go on to the, you know, the uncomfortable psychological adjustments of coming home out of a controlled environment, and now you got to control yourself, and you done had your whole life people been telling you what to do, how to do, and all this stuff, you know, that when I meet these guys, when they come in off the street, you know, some of them, they come in off of their 4 day splurge of being drunk, 4 day splurge of being drugs, you know, womanizers and stuff, whoremongers and stuff, you know what I'm saying? People then later being, you know, thieves and shoplifters and stuff like that there, you know, just transient people, you know. So when we meet those people and stuff, you know what I'm saying, they come in that church and they look at us like, you know, you think you better than us. You know what I'm saying? This is the silent, you know, what is it called, predatorious predator that's in them, you know what I'm saying? They're looking for someone to help you and find some form of confrontation to say, well, hey, you ain't nothing, you know what I'm saying? Y'all just holding in this and holding out. Y'all ain't never been in my life. You can't tell me nothing. Then we start talking to them, and they get to seeing that, hey, we ain't no better than you. Yeah, we done laid up here and been in them situations. We done been up under them bridges. We done been in them basements. We done been in there and stole from our mom, stole from our house, you know what I'm saying? Abused our girlfriends and stuff like that, neglected our children and stuff, then smoked up all our food stamps and smoked up all our checks. We done did all that there, you know what I'm saying? But the Lord done pulled us through that there, and we stand before you changed men, you know what I'm saying? Men committed to change. So When they see this, you see that wall and that viciousness in them. You see it start to melt right there in front of their face. You done been there, video. You done seen them. We done seen them hardened criminals, them street hard men sit down there and break down in tears when we share our stories with them. So I think tears
Absolutely.
Is one of the most powerful early morning programs, like the AM today. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A.M. Sunday, every Sunday, people come in there and stuff and saying for us to let them uplift them, to give them something spiritually, say something to them that's going to lay up here and be strong enough to lay up here and take them to the next day, because most of those guys live from day to day. They don't know if they're going to be able to see us next Sunday, you know, but we know this here that when they get their hair cut, when they come in there and they get their hair cut, they come in there and they get their belly full, they come in there and they get them a new change of clothes and stuff like that, we send them out of that door, changed men. You know what I'm saying? We're not saying we're doing, the Dr. Phil on them or nothing like that there and stuff. They know we give them unconditional love when they come in that church and stuff. I'm saying a lot of them are fighting because they don't want to lay up here and accept within themselves that somebody cares about them.
Well, that's absolutely right. And, you know, one of the things I want to say is that we have seen men and women homeless transformed into being productive citizens in the community, joining the church, getting jobs, and doing all that. And isn't it a wonderful feeling when you see that happen, Gil?
Oh, man, BJ, you see now, you know, I know you set me up because, you know, I love that. You know, I love that, man. Just the other day, we had a guy who came up on the bus. He came on the bus up. Got on the bus, and he came right up to us, you know. He said, hey, man, what I heard what y'all said down at church Sunday, he said, it went straight to my heart, man, you know. He said, I had to go and talk to my mother, man, and ask my mother to forgive me, man, you know. He said, I ain't saying I stopped doing what I'm doing, man, you know what I'm saying? He said, but what I'm saying is that I'm more conscious of what I'm doing. You know, he said, I could have never done that. You know, he said, because my mother, he said, when I go to my mama's house and stuff, man, so I had to stand on the porch and stuff and talk to her through the door, man, because she won't even take the chain off the door because that's how horrible I've been, you know. And he said, but through listening to y'all and coming down to that keys and stuff, he said, I got to develop a relationship with my mother now, man. He said, I sit right there at the table, man, say in the kitchen, and I talk to my mom, man. You know, he said, I want to thank y'all for that. You know, he said, I'm in treatment today right now, man. You know, he said, man, I got me a job today. You know, and when you see that stuff, man, it just does something to you, you know.
From your testimony, listening to Blog Talk Radio, we're about 11 minutes until we have to shut it down. But Blog Talk Radio 347-215-9262. I'm sitting in for Alex Carlson, and the co-host today is Gil Baggett, and we're talking about the history of Mad Dads and the things that we do. Gil Baggett is now married to Anita Baggett, and they're newlyweds, married 4 days. A part of the process and the work that we do here at Mad Dads is creating families and generating relationships, and so he is doing that. We go into the county homeschool and talk to the young people, and, you know, every Wednesday we do that. We'll be in there tomorrow. And Gil gets a chance to talk to some of those inmates from the county homeschool. And, Gil, talk a little bit about what you tell them and what kind of advice you give them.
Well, the advice that I give those kids in that county homeschool is that, you know, that they and that they're in a situation where they're being pampered, you know. That, you know, and I don't mean to want to say anything derogatory or anything against the kind of homeschool or those employees there or anything like that, because I know they're doing the best of their abilities and stuff, and saying to let them try to reform those kids and get those kids to realize and stuff, and saying the devastation and stuff that they're causing not only their lives but to their communities and to their families. But what I do want these kids to understand and stuff is that once they get these places and stuff, you know, that this is an opportunity for them to let you know and be transformed by the renewing of their mind. That taking some of that trash out your head and start thinking about some of the good and constructive and productive things that these people are telling them. You know what I'm saying? So I know that through experience, because at one time I was one of those kids when people came in and they tried to talk to me and try to tell me. I had been to tell me when I was 12 years old, hey, listen, in another 10 years, buddy, you're going to be in the penitentiary. Look around. You know what I'm saying? And you get make sure you know these, remember these faces around you right now, because these are going to be the same guys that are going to be your cellmate one day. You know? So I tell those kids, I said, listen, man, you sitting up here talking about how hard you is and stuff you're saying, and, you know, how bravo you is and how macho you is and all this other stuff. See, but those are stunts, because you got grown criminals inside those penitentiaries that's waiting on you. You got predatory people and stuff you're saying that's in that penitentiary that's salivating right now, just thinking, you know what I'm saying, about your young butt coming in this penitentiary. You know what I'm saying? So I don't try to lay up here, you know, and put no skirt on this stuff. I tell them straight up, you know, that if 9 of you go to the penitentiary, you know what I'm saying, you got to understand that, you know, 2 of you are not going to come home. That means 2 of you are going to lose your lives in there. You know what I'm saying? That leaves 7 of you. And out of that 7 of you, 3 of you are going to be sexual victims up in there. You're going to go through some sexual abuse up in there. You know what I'm saying? And then the rest of you are going to be perpetual criminals. That means that your recidivism and stuff you're saying is going to be consistent, and to the point where that's all you is become is a professional criminal. You know, not a good criminal, a professional criminal. That you're going to lay up here and raise yourself inside of the penitentiary. You know, so that's what I try to do when I go into those county schools and the youth detention centers and stuff like that. I don't try to lay up here and put nothing pretty on it. I don't put no gold-colored glasses on nothing, because having experienced 22 years of penitentiaries, you know what I'm saying, having telling these kids that, hey, I started my penitentiary education at the age of 9 years old. But once you take your fear away from being a prisoner, you know what I'm saying, it's easy to commit crime, because, see, now you ain't scared of consequences.
That's right. Absolutely right. And you're listening to Blog Talk Radio with your host today, VJ Smith, setting in for Alex Carlson, which is not well today, and we send our prayers out to him. My co-host is Gil Baggett today, and we're down to about our last 7 minutes on the show. I wanted to talk a little bit about our community events and the impact that we have on the community, Gil. When we go out to the community and they say, can the Mad Dads come out? Can they show up? Can they bring the outreach unit? Can they help us with the kids? What impact does Mad Dads have on community events?
DJ, you know what impact we have. We have a tremendous impact, because we have the kids, you know what I'm saying? Like, we know we got our haters in every corner in Minneapolis and in St. Paul, you know, but we have kids that love us. You know, so we have elder people, you know what I'm saying, senior citizen people who love us. We have community activism people, you know what I'm saying, people who do up there, who commit their lives to live here and improve and empower their community and stuff, who love us, that when we come into the community and stuff and say, they have something they can lay up here and say, well, hey, look at him. Look what he's done. I remember you. I remember you from Plymouth. Hey, I remember you from Broadway. I remember you from up there on Cedar. I remember you from up there on Lake Street. Man, you and Lady Ben made a miraculous change, you know. And these people, this recognition of, you know, of the Mad Dad's character and stuff, you know what I'm saying? These people lay up here and they say, well, man, I'm proud of you. You know, so the difference that Mad Dads make when we do get to a community is that people can look at us and say that, hey, we're not strangers. You know what I'm saying? We are part of this community. We are part of this neighborhood. We are a part of the changing, you know what I'm saying, of the God of this community, you know. So they see themselves saying, well, hey, man, I might not be able to do what you do. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you what, every time I see a Mad Dad, I'm going to blow my horn, I'm going to wave my arm and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to walk with y'all for a couple of blocks. You know what I'm saying? If you need me to holler, pass out a couple of cards or something like that, or hold up a sign, I'm going to do that because I respect what you're doing. That's what I think the impulse that Mad Dads have when we come into communities.
Well, you know, we're speaking of Alex Carlson. Thank you, Gil. Speaking of Alex Carlson, he's been running the GRIP program, and he's your co-host normally on a Tuesday afternoon. I want you, Gil, to share with everybody what is GRIP all about for the youth?
Yeah, well, GRIP is a program ran by a young man, you know what I'm saying? And, Alex, I hope, you know what I'm saying, you know, I'm going to keep you in my prayers, brother, man, you know, I hope you get better, and I'm going to make sure I stop and see you at the hospital. But the GRIP program is a program that's geared toward the young people of our communities, from the ages of 8 to the ages of 21, you know, and it empowers the kids. They teach them how to make money, how to save money, and how to invest money. They teach them, you know what I'm saying, that they got a gift within them and stuff that's low and dormant, because I think on one of your things you said, the greatest tragedy in life is not what dies around you, but what dies inside of you. You know what I'm saying? When you don't actualize or realize your dreams and your potential, you know, and that's what, you know, the GRIP program is. It brings out, you know what I'm saying, the potential of our youth today. Because, like, if you ever been to the Girls Club and the Boys Club over here on the north side, the YMCA down there on Broadway and stuff, you know what I'm saying, we see the beautiful creativity and the spontaneity of their creations and stuff and their ideas and stuff, you know. So the GRIP program is teaching these kids, you know, that it's all right for them to be creative. It's all right for them to be expressive. You know what I'm saying? It's all right for them to be different. You know what I'm saying? And to want and desire something different. You know, that's the beauty of the GRIP. The beauty of the GRIP that the kids can come in there and use their own ideas to generate their own changes. And I think
that's great,
Gil. Great job.
He does, and so do you, Gil. I just want to take a minute out to thank you, Gil Baggett. Congratulations once again for Mr. Baggett, and look forward to seeing some great things that you'll do as a couple. I know that you will prosper. I will continue to be a leader in terms of helping you get there and also in helping you and with counsel, anything I can do to make sure that you have a successful marriage in your life. So I want to congratulate you and thank you for being on the show. I'm going to close out with a few words, but thank you very much, Gil Baggett. And we will talk to you next week on Blog Talk Radio.
We will that.
Okay, brother. And so I just want to let everybody know that thank you, brother. And I just want to let everybody know that Mad Dads is what we're going to do now is talk a little bit about exactly what's going to happen next on our next show. We're going to be talking more about Mad Dads and the history of Mad Dads and what Mad Dads can do and how you can be involved. Let's talk about volunteering and how you can be a volunteer. But I want to say, give a special shout out to the family of Major Top and let them know that family has lost a father, a brother, an uncle, a grandfather, and that we're sending our love out to Major Tops and the family of Major Tops and thanking Major Tops for all that he's done in the community to promote education and to show others that they can be educated and that they can be motivated and they can have a future. You know, I also want to share with you the fact that I believe that education is very important and very critical. I don't think we can do much without education. Without the education that we need, We struggle with jobs. We struggle with our families, and we also struggle in this community. With a lack of education, it's hard to fight for the things that you need to fight for. And I want to say a big thank you to our Moms Division, all the moms that work with us. We thank you so very much. You do such a wonderful job with us, helping us reach out to the women and helping us to change our lives. And so we want to thank you. And to Minneapolis Care, the mentoring movement, we want to thank the mentoring movement for being a part of what we're doing. We want to tell you right now, if you want to contact us, it's 612-822-0802. That's 612-822-0802. That's the number to call. And we look forward to you every Tuesday coming into Blog Talk Radio. Myself and, of course, my co-host, which is Mr. Gil Baggett. Do you have any last words, Mr. Baggett?
I'm just so thankful that we have the opportunity to share in the lives of so many people who listen to our show. I just wanted to encourage them that, hey, it's all right to be nice to somebody today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Baggett. That's Gil Baggett right here on Blog Talk Radio, chiming in and letting us know how he felt. And we were so, so tremendously proud of his contributions to the community and what he's been doing. You will see him in the future doing great things, and we're going to be inspired to continue to do our work thanks to your help. With 25 seconds to go, I just want to say this to you, that if you believe in God, you let him lead you in the direction you need to be led in. If you hold on strong to what God's got to offer you, if you believe and know that you can achieve anything that you want to achieve, it can be done. And all you have to do is believe in yourself when nobody else does. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.